Hey everyone, welcome to this edition of the Nayrete Podcast. I'm Alan Kinney, Editorial Director with Nayrete, and joining me on the phone today is Ella Shaw Neeland, President of Steadfast Income REIT. Ella, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Alan, thank you.
I want to open this interview today just by giving you a chance to kind of fill us in on what Steadfast Income REIT is all about. You know, how long has the company been operating? Where are some of the markets that you serve? You know, how big is the portfolio? Can you just give us kind of the background on the company?
I can. Steadfast is a public company. It is non-listed, and we acquire stabilized apartment communities in what I call primary locations, but in secondary cities. And Steadfast acquired their first apartment community in August of 2010. It was downtown Springfield, Illinois, a perfect example of the kind of markets that we look for because that is a state capital. We're in 10 states, and in 7 of those, we're in state capitals. You tend to have higher income levels, lower average age, universities. There are businesses that have their headquarters in state capitals, access to transportation. So it's all of the things that are feeding the growth in the U.S. economy today. And those are the type of markets that Steadfast is looking for, markets where people are moving to find jobs, to find a higher quality of life, but at a value that they can afford for their hard-earned dollars. Today, we own a little over $700 million worth of apartment communities through that 10-state area. It's about 7,800 apartment homes. And that 10-state area is up through the middle part of the United States, which is where you're seeing job growth occur. And it's in the Kentucky, Kansas, Ohio, Oklahoma, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Texas, Tennessee, and Missouri. And what we see about those is that as you move, starting from kind of the southernmost part of our portfolio, you're moving up through the energy corridor, up through that San Antonio, Austin area, through the Silicon Prairie, which is sort of Kansas City, Des Moines, and then up into the Great Plains where the commodity area is. So those markets are literally where jobs are being created, manufacturing plants are being created. You can't really drop a manufacturing plant on some of those cities in the coastal cities where you read a lot about apartment growth. But this creates the ability to have volume-driven job growth when you have, for example, in Austin, Texas. Samsung committed to add $4 billion to their chip plant. We see in Nashville, for example, Amazon is adding jobs, Nissan, GM, Dell, healthcare jobs, Lexington, the same thing. Toyota is investing a lot of money for the first non-Japanese Lexus line, will create about 750 jobs in that market. Tiffany has a jewelry manufacturing facility. So, Alan, the markets we're looking for, we're saying, okay, we look at, is there above average national job growth? And there is. But real estate is still very much a local business. So every city and every little town that we invest in, we go in and we say, what is actually creating the job growth in this market? What's creating the volume-driven job growth that then spins off into little businesses, little restaurants, little shops that create the organic job growth that is really the backbone of America? And those are the markets that we're looking for.
Again, folks, talking with Ella Shaw Neeland, president of Steadfast Income REIT. Ella, can you give us an idea, you know, since you've been operating, you know, what have been some of your chief areas of focus or goal, you know, within the company and operations?
Our goal is, as a non-listed public company, we pay a 7% distribution to our investors. So we're, again, looking in those markets where we can buy stabilized apartment communities that we're able to deliver that dividend to our investors. So that $708 million that we've acquired up through today, as I sit here today, $500 million of that we acquired last year. And it really is sort of a very positive timing on our part because these markets that we're buying, and we consider the best markets, and that doesn't necessarily mean the most expensive markets, the high-profile markets you hear about, but we've been early entrants into all of the markets that we've talked about. And for better or worse, Alan, it seems like every time I pick up a newspaper, a Wall Street Journal, there'll be a positive article about Nashville, about Des Moines, about Austin, Texas. So I think most of America is now discovering, a lot lot of America institutional investors are discovering the opportunities for growth in this part of the United States, as opposed to buying, you know, at 3 or 4 or 5 cap rates on the coastal market. So we have been, again, very successful in saying, you know, what has been our area of focus. That really has been it. It's a lot of work. I mean, we look at a lot of opportunities every month. We probably look at somewhere between 300 and 500 acquisition opportunities across our desk. And a lot of them don't fit. They're in coastal cities, or they're too small, or in their markets that we don't think make sense for us at this time. And so we typically buy based on that volume that we look at. We'll buy somewhere between 3 and 4% of all the assets we look at, and they're typically not highly traded. So we pick the best of the best. We really find that particular asset that doesn't necessarily fit into a box, because we have some high rises. I've got some townhomes. We bought a brick manufacturing facility in downtown Kansas City that was converted into law. So it doesn't have to fit into a box. It just has to fit into the criteria to say, is this where people are moving to find jobs? And is this where jobs are being created in this sort of post-recessionary era? So we have been, again, extremely successful in executing on that, what I think is a fairly unique business strategy. And the reason it's so important to our investors is because in this low interest rate environment, people are really yield starved. So to be able to invest in an apartment portfolio, again, I've been in the apartment business for 34 years, so it's always, I think, good for people to invest in apartments as part of a diversified portfolio. But today, I think, is very unique. It's a great time. Everything is so positive driving towards a steadfast apartment, because it is, again, value-driven. People are making, you know, the median income has gone down. It's below $50,000, so it's less than it was 5 years ago. People work hard for their money, and they want to feel like they get value for their rental dollars. And a steadfast apartment, our average rent is a little less than $900, which is below the national average. So people that are making between, say, $25,000 and $75,000 a year can afford a steadfast apartment. And so they see that as a good value, and it creates a huge customer base for my apartments.
And so how have you found conditions in the capital markets ever since you set up shop?
Well, that's another thing that's, again, a little unique to the apartment industry, is that we do have, I think, the best access to capital of any of the product types, with the access to Fannie and Freddie and FHA. But most of our financing is through Fannie and Freddie. And we've seen, just in the 2-3 years that we've been acquiring assets, we've seen those interest rates continue to stay very attractive. We have had, you know, great relationships with both of those groups to be able to provide financing for our assets. So we've seen that market continue to stay positive. And if you look at the papers and read what Bernanke says, I don't think there's any thought that that's going to mitigate any time in the next, say, year or two. So we see, going forward, again, a very positive access to capital for our product type.
So one of the big stories in the apartment sector has been really the tight balance between supply and demand, especially given what happened in the housing market over the last 6 years. How would you characterize the ongoing level of development in the sector right now?
A couple things, Alan. As far as development of new construction, it's still below national average. Historically, it's been, say, 300,000 new units to kind of keep a stabilized balance between supply and demand. And it's been, as you pointed out correctly, it's been significantly below that for a long period of time. And we're starting to see some of that come back, but not necessarily in the steadfast markets. You kind of look at the sexy six cities on the coastal areas, and the majority of the new construction are in those cities. And in our cities, you're seeing very little new construction. And in fact, that even to the extent there is new construction in our communities, the cost associated with developing a ground-up construction today is so much higher than what our average purchase price per home. Because if you look at my portfolio of $708 million and then look at the fact that it's about 7,800 homes, that's a little less than $90,000 purchase price per home. So I have a very competitive advantage, even if new construction comes into my market. So that's, we don't see a threat. We see that that's still an imbalance imbalance between supply and demand. And in fact, will continue to be so because there's such a pent-up demand for apartments. People have been doubling up when they've gotten out of college. College kids have an average of $27,000 of debt, so they're of student loan debt. So they're not going out buying homes. So they're either doubling up or, in the case of one of my kids, living with their parents still. So that's a pent-up demand. And so the construction, at least in the near term, and near term being, say, 2 to 5 years, I don't think is even going to keep up with that pent-up demand. And then the and so we're seeing that as a positive, actually, factor for ours. And then the other part about the home ownership, you're right. For every 1% decline in the home ownership rate, it put another 1 million people into the renter pool. So, you know, one out of every 3 people today are living in apartments. There's a lot of business to go around. But I think that it's not unique to me, but I think there really is a shift in the way these millennials are approaching their lifestyles, that they are looking, they have seen their parents, you know, either lose their home or lose a significant portion of the equity in their home, and they are less anxious to go out and burden themselves with a mortgage. In addition to the fact they have a hard time qualifying for it. But the other thing, too, is, and it's, you know, I see this in my own kids, that they've really gotten smart about the flexibility that apartment living gives them, that if they're have an opportunity to move for a job, they can move. And I think that today, as this job market slowly grinds out of, you know, it's year-by-year recovery, they need that flexibility. And they love the lifestyle. They love the fact that, for example, in the Steadfast portfolio, I have 16,000 people living in my apartments, and this is their home. And so when they leave in the morning, if they have a problem associated with their apartment community, always remember that this is their home. You're taking care of it for them, and they will be dedicated customers of Steadfast. So if they leave in the morning and they have a maintenance request and it's fixed by the time they get home, that speaks volumes to this millennial segment that's growing. It'll be as large as the baby boomer segment by the time it reaches its full capacity of 70 million people. They like the fact that they're not out mowing the grass and taking care of the lawn. And when they get a little bit of a bonus or they get an increase in their paycheck, they can use it to take a trip or buy an asset. And that kind of consumer spending, which is 2/3 of GDP, that's what's going to help the economy. So in many respects, apartment living, I think, is the foundation in many respects for creating a more robust economy.
Man, you said it there with not having to mow the lawn. You tell me that, man. Yeah, that was the one thing I didn't think about before I bought a house. So anyway,
there's a lot of work. That's exactly right,
yeah,
Ella.
Absolutely. Well, Ella, I really appreciate you taking time out today to talk to us and give us an update on how everything's going with your company.
I always enjoy telling the Steadfast story because I think we do have a unique business plan, and that is reflective in the fact that we've been so successful in buying great apartment communities and thriving neighborhoods. So call me anytime, and I will always update you on our company.
That's great. Thanks. We really appreciate that here at Nareit. And again, folks, that's Ella Shaw Nealon, president with Steadfast Income REIT. Thank you all so much for joining us for the Nareit podcast. I'm Alan Kenny.